I've been to the cinema 4 times this week.
Four?
Yeah, I've seen 4 movies. This episode is generally going to be what I like to call Reviewapalooza.
Nice.
I also went to see Massive Talent.
You went to see Nicolas Cage without me?
No, I know. I saw
it. Oh, man.
But I'll say one thing about it, though. I went on an early-ish showing, like right after work.
Mm-hmm.
I was the only person in the cinema. I had a cinema to myself. It was me, a massive cinema that was empty, which literally like 400 seats in the cinema. Me and Nick Cage on the big screen.
Beautiful.
It was freaking awesome.
To the Fantasy Film League podcast. I thought I'd kick off for once. Usually it's you, Mr. Birch, but today, Mr. Smith, taking a stand, because I get a feeling I'm going to say hello and then you're going to talk for probably a solid hour about the 4 awesome films you've seen this week.
Well, they weren't all awesome. Some of them were okay, but yes, I've been self-isolating because of various reasons, and I was in Eastern Europe for other various reasons, so I kind of missed the cinema. So I thought, right, I'm going to do a massive catch-up on the cinema, and I've been to see 4 films. And they range from the, oh, yeah, actually, that was pretty good, to the, what did I just watch, to, whoa, Nicolas Cage! Now, I won't tell you which ones were which, but I'm pretty sure we can kind of work out as we go along.
One of those feels very Cage-like.
Indeed. But I'm going to do that one last on the ground that I think that's going to take the longest. And also, I'm just going to start ranting
a
lot. Okay,
start the stopwatch.
Okay. So, but no, we've got a few things to go through. While I was there, I do want to have a little bit of a discussion about trailers. I have seen the most modern trailer I've ever seen. And I talked about this like 2 or 3 years ago about trailers. And I want to talk about that again. So I'm going to do that thing. But we've also got news to go through on the Fantasy Film League game.
Yeah, just a little bit, yep.
So we need to do this. This is the news.
Still can't believe you edited in a longer break.
Yes,
into that.
Just because just
I put that together.
Yeah,
and it had it was like that's the length break I want.
Yeah,
and then you're like, yeah, that's fine, but I'm gonna put in a big one. So every time,
to be honest,
I'm
with
like,
you,
and I'm like, and then I'm like 2 beats out.
It's I'm not entirely sure how I put that break in, because I don't think I did it deliberately, but I mess myself up waiting for the drop. Because while filming this, we do sit here and Bill and Ted our way through pretty much all the music. And then we both put our hands in the air, wait for the big drop, and then go, drop. So
I go, then you go,
yeah.
And then it happens.
And then it happens, yeah. No, I know. I'm going
to
have
to... It's a good thing no one's videoing this, because it would be very
embarrassing. We would look ridiculous if we were on screen.
Yeah, more ridiculous.
Yes. Right.
News? Yeah, so I'm not even sure if... Because, you know, we've had... let's say the podcast has become a little bit intermittent, but I kind of actually like this sort of free-form looseness of it these days. it's been a while, and I'm not sure if we talked about... Maybe I think we last talked about the short leagues that we've introduced.
Yes,
3 months,
the seasons.
Just before they'd started.
That's correct.
The short, sort of quarterly seasons.
Yes.
We're literally days... I think tomorrow you will put the scores in for
the end
of the first quarterly league.
So, explain, there's 3 games that run. There's the one and done, where on January 1st, you pick your cast. That's locked in for a year, and you have to go through to the end of the year.
Yep.
And then whoever wins that wins, and you're not allowed to make any changes. Then you have what we refer to as the main game, where you can chop and change your cast as much as you like. You can throw people in. People have been known to change it on a weekly basis. I mean, it's real crazy. You can have three films going up any one time, and basically you can run it like your own production company. And then because that takes obviously a year's worth of commitment and concentration, it's possible that you can completely fuffle that up. So what we've done is we've done...
Failure
is always an option. So at which point we thought what we'll do is we'll put in little games as well. So if you kind of stumble across our dark little corner of the internet and want to play the game, you can jump in one of the 3 monthly games. And they run slightly out of sequence to the calendar year. They start in February and we run them slightly off kilter just because of reasons. But the May...
June, July
season is about to drop. Now, we are referring to this one as the blockbuster season.
Because it's when the blockbusters come.
Because this is
out.
Going to be where all the big films come
out. I would love
out.
It that it was a sponsorship with the aforementioned company that no longer exists.
There's still one branch left in Alaska.
Oh, yeah.
Which apparently you can book sleepovers in.
Yes.
Right? And rent whatever, watch your... I mean, anyway, sorry, I'm going
to go. Quick, to the FFL Jets.
Go! So this is the blockbuster season. So it starts on May 1st and it ends on the end of July.
Yeah,
and
so basically it's the full weeks in those months.
The full weeks inside
those
months.
So actually what this means, little technical point, is there's going to be an interregnum. There's going to be 1 week where there's no quarterly season because it's where the month...
Because of the where the where everything month. Ends. Okay,
yeah, time. So you get a little breather.
Don't start looking.
And then we get going.
We traditionally have a real problem with time on this podcast.
Of course, yes.
Stop messed. If we lose a week, I mean, it's going to get weird. We're going to have to do some... We're going to have to do
fine.
Some weird shizzle during that
It'll
week.
It'll be fine.
We could just do a season that lasts 1 week.
So like one and done.
Just a boom. You got one week. You got one shot.
Insanity.
Okay.
I mean, it could be done.
All right. Please let us know if you want.
Yes.
If you want to
watch
just
out for future interregnum periods where
we can call it the interregnum season. It lasts 6 days. Your time starts now. So this is the blockbuster season. So you have the same budget like you would normal have for a normal season.
Yep.
You can shop and change your cast as much as you want, but you've got 3 months to make the money.
Now, what I really wanted to do was have a little chat about what the finishers approach the line, like who was likely to win, how close it was at the top. Unfortunately, Gertie has kind of screwed us over here because you can't enter a film into that season. Gertie's gone, well, that season's over with then, right? So you can't actually see... You can't see what's going on in that season right now if you're in the app and you're on your phone. So I'm going to have a word with Gertie and explain to Gertie that maybe we'll show finished seasons we'll leave them on your dashboard for a couple of weeks after the end
just
of the season.
Just so you can
see what's gone on. Is
Gertie taking this a little bit too literally where you say the season's over? It's like, yeah, fine, it's over.
Gertie's nothing if not very literal about things.
Gertie is only here to help us, though.
I know, but in a very literal kind of on the spectrum kind of way.
So Gertie, by the way, in case for those of you who don't know what the hell we're talking about, is our FFL supercomputer. Mm-hmm. Gertie is our fourth
incarnation. Yeah, we have like HAL,
we
Skynet.
We have HAL, Skynet, Whopper. And now we have Gertie.
And now we're on to Gertie.
So, but Gertie...
Each of them have sort of, you know, they've done their time. But eventually things tend to start going wrong. We have to replace.
Yeah, and Gertie's gone.
Them.
Gertie went wrong early.
I'm not sure Gertie even started out
wrong. Gertie has a reputation.
We did use a lot of Whopper when we were putting Gertie together. We did sort of, you know, take.
We
a
did
few
kind
of
graft a few,
out,
yeah.
Think,
we had
yeah,
to move
there's
from
some
those
serious
circuits.
Graft. I mean, have you seen those spaghetti?
Yeah, no,
things?
It's just not good.
Yeah, kind of like that.
Yeah.
So, I think that might be the cause.
We generally our player base doesn't trust Gertie, and there's lots of running,
I don't know why.
There's lots of running hashtags about Gertie lies and
Gertie's always very, you know, very calm, reassuring, but there's something a bit creepy about it.
I think the problem is we both forgot who voiced Gertie in Moon. And had managed to completely delete that fact from our heads when we named Gertie. Because I found Gertie and went, oh yeah, the creepy computer from Moon. We'll have that. That's great. And then someone else has pointed out the fact that we seem to be naming all of our FFL supercomputers after evil computers. And he suggested that perhaps is where we went wrong.
Evil's, you know, it's all
evil's
depends
a point
on
of
your
view.
Point of view.
Evil's
yeah,
a point
from
of
where
view.
You're looking
absolutely.
At it. Yeah.
And you know,
exactly.
I used that term only the other day to my wife and she just went, what? Anyway, so we'll go into the logic circuits of Gertie with a large hammer and we'll fix
and explain in air quotes.
Sorry, we'll percussively yeah. explain.
Yeah. So on Sunday, last scores will go in. We will know who the first winner of a quarterly sees is. From the chat I was seeing in Discord, it seems like it could be very close.
Right.
I think there's been a last minute, I think if I recall rightly, there was like a last minute 1-2 swap round.
Okay.
So, and there was some wailing and gnashing of teeth of like, why didn't I do this?
Yes, there was a couple of Roy Kent from Ted Lasso memes of him just going, Fuffle! And then walking away. Yes. Yeah.
So, I take that as a good sign that there was some, you know, that there's competition.
Strong competition.
That it's close and that there was a certain degree of enjoyment being
had. Well, that's good. And the whole point of having the short game is that you can get in, you can play it.
It
and
has felt very short. They are quick. My goodness, that is.
They are short. Quick, but it does mean. But now that we've got the blockbuster season coming, as we're calling it, so you're gonna get the Jurassic Park, the new Jurassic Park film,
Dominion. Yes.
Jurassic World Dominion. Yeah. There's probably a colon in there anyway.
So that's one of the Chris Pratt movies.
That's one of the Chris Pratt movies.
Is Thor?
You've got Thor, Love and Thunder.
Yeah,
which comes out in July.
Yeah, I've just booked tickets to go see Doctor Strange Multiverse of Insanity.
Which is next week,
yeah. Right? So you're going to get straight out the gates with like a big, there's big cast.
You big cast film. In that, yeah. That's going to be a lot. But Thor, Love and Thunder comes out in July. You're going to have the Top Gun.
Oh, is that finally here?
Which is going to be here. I'm going to come back to Top Gun. That's the thing I want to talk about. But yes.
Okay, you're right.
So we've got Top Gun, we've got Thor, we've got the Jurassic World. Now, I've stopped watching the Jurassic World Park films. I watched the first Chris Pratt one.
Right, okay.
And I didn't watch the second one.
Right.
But the third one, they've got everyone who was in Jurassic Park, Sam Neill, Laura Dern, and Jeff Goldblum. In it. So they've got them. They're all
it's like
together.
Crossing the streams.
But this one, there's a complete. You know what? Complete aside. This film, they made this film, and this film has taken so long to do because of COVID restrictions and bubbles.
Right.
That there's a Judd Apatow film on Netflix called The Bubble, which is basically based on the filming of Jurassic World because they. They kept locking down.
Right.
These guys were stuck in hotels.
Stop.
Apparently, Jeff Goldblum was locked on his own in a hotel for 6 weeks. Now, I don't know Jeff Goldblum, but I'm pretty sure if you put him on his own in isolation for 6 weeks, he's going to do one of three things. One, write a mini opera symphony.
Yes.
Or two, kill everyone in the hotel.
Yeah. Or invent a teleporter.
Wacky. So apparently, there's a whole like extra film of... of wackiness around the making of this film, but it is coming out, and there's going to be lots of other films that have kind of popped in. So it's a big month. So if you're going to go for this, you're going to have to probably invest on some big ticket items. You're going to have to go with an expensive Chris,
yeah,
a Hemsworth or a Pratt.
Mm-hmm.
You're probably going to want to go big on a couple of
like
the films.
Cumberbatch, maybe.
You might want to maybe get a cheeky Cumberbatch in at the beginning.
Yeah.
A cheeky Cumberbatch, by the way, is a new cocktail I'm going to have to create. So there's lots to choose from, but there's big films. There's also a couple of animated films that are coming out during this blockbuster season, because obviously it's the start of the summer break for schools and stuff.
Yeah.
So you're going to get films that come out that are going to have serious longevity.
Things you can take the kids.
Like, for example, Sonic 2, which came out like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
That's going to be in the charts for the next 6 weeks. We all know that.
It'll get like a second wind.
It will get a second. It'll get a bump. Yeah, exactly. So you'll need to think about that. So there's lots to think about. It's a big game. And it's a lot different from the February to May season, which had smaller films that had come out, films that were either delayed due to COVID or have been sent out
you've got that award, well, we call it the awards season because you've got the Oscars.
You've got the
stuff,
Oscars there as well. So you've got smaller
sort of
films.
The vibe for that.
Exactly.
Those months.
But we've no idea what to call the next season.
Yeah, it's like the difficult third season.
The difficult third season.
Maybe we call it the difficult third season.
Yeah, maybe.
Because then you've got the holiday season at the end, right? The fourth one, because
Halloween. It's Halloween, Thanksgiving, Christmas.
Yeah, November, December, January. Yeah.
Yes, sorry, yeah. So you have that. So yeah, so
yeah.
Third season.
Any ideas for the third season?
Yeah, we need some thoughts on that, because it's going to be August, September, October.
It's like Blockbuster 2, but not really.
I think whatever we call it, we got to throw a colon in there.
Yeah, I mean, like FFL speaking,
colon
yeah.
the third season, or yes. like Dominion or Obsession, or like just a random word that makes it sound cool.
Yes.
Okay.
No, I'm blanking. Yeah, we definitely need help from
that. All right, we need help on that one. So answers on a postcard, please, or Discord channel, or Twitter, or anything else. I'll put out a call on Twitter and see what everyone else says.
Mm.
Anything else to talk about?
No, that's it for news.
Okay, let's move on. So, about 2 years ago on the podcast, I started talking about modern trailers.
Mm-hmm.
And I
said
that,
please refresh my memory.
Cause... So, if you, it's really interesting. If you go onto YouTube, okay, interesting is not the word to use. I find it really interesting. If you go onto YouTube and you look up a trailer for a film, like a theatrical trailer for a film that came out in the '80s or nineties, mm-hmm. right? So pick The Rock or something. Pick like right. a big film and watch the trailer, and you'll go okay, and then watch a modern trailer.
Right.
And there is a huge difference in how it's done. So the
art has progressed.
The art has changed. So that the classic 80s, 90s trailers are show an explosion, show the star is, show a couple of lines, do the in a world where things happen, a man, another man, they do stuff, explosions coming soon. That's the kind of thing.
Right.
But modern trailers have all got a complete new style to them. Now, okay. It starts with an isolated piano playing the theme slowly.
Okay. Ding. Oh, hang on. This is coming back Ding. To me.
Ding.
Because
and then it starts with people yeah. speaking, and then the horns and the drums come in.
Zimmer horns.
And then potentially Zimmer horns. And then it always goes dun dun dun. And there's swooshy shots, there's right. no plot, it's just coolness, and you go lightsaber and you go yes, and it doesn't tell you when the film's coming out, it doesn't tell you what's going to happen in it, it doesn't tell you anything about the plot, it doesn't tell you necessarily, it doesn't go Tom Cruise the right. other guy yeah. this film, it just goes so
okay, so hang on, is it so it's portent
yeah.
followed by action followed by emotions
yes with epic voiceovers yeah. completely out of context.
Right.
Like lines people are going to go, I don't know why you're here. Dun, 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 dun. Right? So, yes. I'm now going to pause the recording.
Yes.
And I'm going to show you the original Top Gun trailer.
Okay.
I'm going to show you the original Empire Strikes Back trailer.
Yes.
I'm then going to show you a fan version of the Empire Strikes Back trailer.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to show you the new Top Gun trailer.
Okay.
And it's the Top Gun trailer I really want to focus on, because someone has basically taken the format and gone, do that. So we'll be right back, but I'll post these in the link, because I'm not going to sit here and play people's stuff. So where's my iPad? So you see what I mean?
Oh, it's like quiet. Quiet. Building.
Bing, bing.
Loud.
Bing, bing.
Epic. Bing.
Yeah, dum. It's insane,
and then
isn't it?
All the way back and then, down, and then it goes, and then
yeah,
quiet.
And all the speech, it's completely crazy. But yeah. every trailer is the same. If you're trying to do a big film, if you watch all the Star Wars trailers, all that, there is a format to it.
Yes.
But what's really interesting is you look at the original Top Gun trailer, and it is just completely
like
different.
Yeah.
So, yeah, anyway, I was just, complete aside, just wanted to point it out, because I was sitting there on my own, in the cinema, watching something and watching Massive Talent, and it just struck me and kind of went, yeah, I can literally go and cue the drums and quiety bit and dun 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 and violins, and I was sitting there like almost like conducting the orchestra, because
I think it's like peak. Yeah, it's a definitely peak modern trailer.
Trailer, isn't it?
I mean, all it's missing is the 5-second trailer that you get on YouTube.
Yes, so yes.
I wonder if we're going to get that at any point.
What, in cinemas?
In cinema.
Yeah, no, I don't
that'll
want.
Be,
I don't
that'll
want
be the end times. That,
oh God, yeah, the pre-trailer trailer. You're about to watch this trailer, and you go, I know. I push play. Now it's here. And you go, I know. That's what I. Anyway, right.
Yeah.
Okay, so I've seen 4 films. Here we go.
That's a lot of
films. It's a lot of films. Now, it's fair to say I'm gonna whip through the first two. Not because they were bad or good or indifferent, but I need to spend more time on the last two because the last two, absolutely
you're
banana
budgeting.
Pants. I'm budgeting. Right, okay. I'm just aware that you need. Right, so first film that I've caught up with is Uncharted.
Ah,
or because yes. Mark Wahlberg's in it, I have to call it Uncharted. Okay, now, why do I do a Boston accent? I don't know, but apparently I have to, because every time I see The Departed, I have to say it that way, because that's what the accents are. So I went and saw Uncharted.
So this is also known as the other Tom Holland film.
This is the other Tom Holland film. The other Tom Holland film where he isn't Spider-Man. So have you ever played the video game Uncharted?
I have not.
So the video game Uncharted is effectively an Indiana Jones adventure.
Okay.
You go to a location, you have to shoot people, you have to solve some sort of puzzle, you have to climb up a thingy, you get the next clue.
Is there a bit where there's a plane with a red line on a map? Because if there is, that would be I'm in.
There isn't in the game, but there is in the film.
Yeah. Yes.
So okay. So effectively, the game was great. The game came out a few years back. I think there's been four versions of the game. I've played two of them.
Right.
The first one I really liked. There's a really cool bit where he finds a stranded German submarine that is basically suspended in the air because it's hanging off a rock because the river's emptied and the things like.
Okay.
But he has to crawl through to get out. You have to
it's go, all right, guys. I've got a plan.
Yeah, but you have to walk. You have to get through the submarine to get the captain's logbook, which has the next clue.
Okay.
And then the thing starts to tip, and you have to run through a collapsed submarine. And it's a really cool set piece in a video game because you're sitting there doing your thing. That bit's not in the film.
Okay.
Which annoys me because that was my favorite bit.
Right.
But there are other bits of the film that are set pieces from the game.
Oh, well,
but it doesn't nod too heavily to the game.
Okay.
Effectively, it stars a younger version of a gentleman named Nathan Drake, who in the game is in his mid-30s, but this is a prequel to the game.
Right.
So he is Tom Holland age.
Like origins of
indeed
sort of thing.
And Tom Holland is Nathan Drake, and basically he is a adventurer and steals treasure and a shizzle. And then he is off to find the lost gold of blah, 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 blah.
Right.
And they have to go and find keys and they run around cities. It goes a bit Da Vinci Code for a sec. Then they find the next set piece. Then they have to find a key that opens this thing. And then the bad guys chase them. And then it's all very normal. It's all very Indiana Jones meets National Treasure meets explode. There's not too many explosions. It's
Lots of running and clues.
Clues and, well, actually, this was built in the 1600s by a French Drake, and he's left a clue here. And this, actually, this is an upside down, and this is a triangle. Oh, no, sorry, that's Da Vinci Code. Quick, to a library. And it's okay. It goes along at a fair old pace. It's a mindless action film. But looking into it, it's been in development for quite a while, and there was a revolving door of directors for ages. I think they went through... Like I lost count at one point. I think they went through four, maybe five directors on this film. So it is a little bit kind of jumbled. Well, it's a bit formulaic, but it's fine.
Okay. So, but do you think the production problem or the sort of it sort of shows a bit on screen?
Yeah. It's fine. It just it goes along, and as long as you don't think too carefully about plot. It's okay. It is mindless action and it's a bit of a giggle. But I have got two problems with it.
Okay.
Now, my first problem, I'm not really allowed to mention because if I badmouth this man, my niece will have words with me because she is the future Mrs. Tom Holland.
Ah, I see.
So she has an unhealthy obsession with
right.
Tom Holland and
right.
I'm not allowed to criticize him or anything that he does. However, he's okay in it.
Right.
I think they could have taken a risk and they could have gone with someone who is maybe slightly younger because Tom Holland's in his mid-20s. They could have gone with someone who was younger and not Spider-Man. I know
that sounds
weird, but not Spider-Man. Because I look at Tom Holland and he's just Spider-Man to me at the moment.
Right.
Because he is in the middle.
Because
he's in the middle of Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And they could have gone with someone other than him.
Do you think that they've gone with someone quite young because they're hoping this is the beginning of a franchise?
Yes, 100%.
Right.
And
okay. And
the reason they didn't go with someone who was in his 30s, because Nathan Drake in the game is in his 30s, is because they probably want to get the younger
eggs.
Audience.
Right.
Yeah. Now, because Nathan Drake is a 30s, dark hair, bloke. And then the other problem with this film is Mark Wahlberg, who is the wise old kind of mentor called Sully, who in the game is in his probably late 50s. He's gray hair. He's a big guy. He's not fat. He's a big kind of muscular guy. But he's got a massive handlebar tash.
Right. So we're talking like Ron Perlman is who you should have had.
Yes.
Right.
You see, and this is my problem, is I sat there and went, it's fine, but Tom Holland's fine, but
the casting could have been better.
So there was a huge thing to get Nathan Fillion to play Nathan Drake.
Right.
Because he is wisecracking, jumping around. However, it's safe to say Nathan Fillion is too old to do that now.
Yeah, oh, definitely.
So, Nathan Fillion...
No disrespect,
Nathan. No disrespect to him, but he wouldn't have been able to do it. But he could have done the role...
Why Nathan Fillion? Apart from, like, you know, he's generally quite...
Because he fits the character. The character in the game is quite wisecracking and is a little bit kind of
semi-serious. So what you want is a young Nathan Fillion.
You'd want someone who was,
I don't think Tom Holland's that, or certainly from Spider-Man, he's just a little bit too earnest or naive.
Yeah,
you want
that's the
bit
thing.
More,
it's a little bit more cynical.
I start to see where you go, what you mean. Yeah.
So the two main characters of this film needed to be other people.
A bit bland, they're just relative. It needs to be a little bit more high.
Exactly, yeah. It's the equivalent of going, well, we should just get Chris Pratt in. He's famous, isn't he? Yeah, okay. Well,
right.
We're making a new film based on the Mario Brothers franchise. You know who would be classic for the Italian plumber? Who? It would be Chris Pratt. Would he? Yeah. It would be Chris Pratt. We should get Chris Pratt in. It's that kind of level of casting. Yeah, okay. And it's just meh. So 100%, I hadn't even considered Ron Perlman until you just said it, but 100% it should be Ron Perlman or someone who is on that side of the age gap. But someone who can still run around and punch people. And then the Nathan Drake character should have been someone other than Tom Holland. And there's a lot of guys who are running around now who are the same kind of age who may have been better.
Yeah.
Taron Egerton's probably too old, but
he's got the right energy.
Exactly. Yeah.
Energy, what am I saying?
Yeah, no,
I really am sounding like a Hollywood casting person.
Yes, but that's the thing, is it's very by the numbers, it's very safe.
Right.
Clearly,
but don't you think as well there's that pressure, if you're trying to launch or get a franchise off the ground and launch it, you don't want to be taking too many risks early because you could just sink it before it's even started.
It's a good point, but this is funded by the Sony Corporation,
right,
who, it's fair to say, have got a fair bit of money.
But I think it was almost like they're not thinking about one film, they're thinking about five films.
Yeah, exactly.
And therefore it's like they just start to, you just get nervous, right?
Interestingly,
like, it's not, you know, you don't want to be the person in Sony who screwed the five.
That's true, that's probably indicative of a larger problem, which is you're never making one film. You're thinking about your extended universe.
Yeah,
you've got mate, you've made one film. Just calm down.
Yeah, just concentrate on making one good film, and then you'll get the others.
You might get another one, but I don't know whether they're going to do a sequel. It would be quite nice to see a sequel. It's quite funny, but I'd like to see. To be honest with you, they have the chance. Mark Wahlberg has only signed up for one film. He's not signed up for several. And nailing Tom Holland down is going to be difficult. So I reckon what they'll do is they'll just go 10 years later.
And then they can recast.
And then they can have an older, like someone in their mid-30s.
Yeah.
So you could have someone along the lines of Joel Kinnaman, kind of guy. He could be quite good. Wow. Maybe he's a bit too big for it. But and then you'd have someone, you know, the Ron Perlman, someone who's kind of an older action star. You could even go really cool and you could have someone who's like 80s action star as the aging action star.
Yeah,
there's loads of things you could do with it. But anyway, so so good, but also... Nah.
Okay, so that was your first...
That was my first film.
Average film.
Yeah. Now, I'm going to skip over the second one, because the second one is going to take me longer. So I'm going to come back to that one. But my third film I saw was The Lost City, with Sandra Bullock and Channing Tatum.
Now we've had our eyes on this for a while, because we have a certain soft spot for, everyone in that film.
Basically. So effectively, it is a spiritual remake of Romancing the Stone.
Which is no problem in my book.
I haven't seen it. I'm a little scared to go back and look at some of these early 80s
films.
Don't go back. First of all, everyone smokes.
Yeah.
Everyone's smoking, which is... Now, weirdly... I was in Eastern Europe a few weeks back doing something I can't talk about, and everyone smokes there. It's just everybody is smoking, and it's really weird for me because here where we live, people, you can't smoke in public. Well, you can, but you can smoke outside. You can't smoke in pubs. You can't smoke in theaters. You can't smoke in restaurants. And anyone who is smoking generally is sucking cherry flavored lollipop flavor from a USB stick and then blowing it,
the world's biggest cloud.
Yeah. By the way, if you vape, don't do that. It's stupid. I can't believe that Gen X has taken smoking, which is bad for you, but was kind of cool, and turned it into sucking on a USB stick. Anyway, where was I? Channing Tatum. So we've been keeping an eye on The Lost City. And as I said, it's a spiritual remake of Romance in the Stone. Effectively, there is a novelist who makes bodice-ripping, romantic, heaving-bosom adventure novels. And they're pulpy, trashy novels that she writes. But she's a widow. Her husband was an archaeologist. So she bases some of the story on some of his archaeological notes.
Ah,
that's important. It'll come back later on.
I can see that is so, definitely coming back.
At which point then she's doing the last book deal. She's jaded. Sandra Bullock is the author, obviously. She's jaded with the whole book thing. And she has to do it with her stupid ass cover model, who is the Fabio ripped shirt guy who's on the front cover, which is Channing Tatum, who's a guy called Alan. And Alan is lovely, but is also dumb.
Right.
He's a nice guy, but
he's trading on his looks.
He's doing very well, but he's trading on his looks. At which point, Sandra Bullock is abducted, and she keeps shouting things like, am I being taken? Have I been taken? Is this a taken thing? Are you selling me into slavery? Have I been sold to someone? What's happening? At which point she ends up in front of a absolutely having a great time with this Daniel Radcliffe, who is a spoiled media mogul billionaire who is obsessed with finding a treasure. And because she's based her book on the archaeological notes from her husband, he now says, well, actually, these notes will help me find the lost treasure of stuff. Then kidnaps her and they go off to an island.
Right.
And we're off.
Right.
And that's it. And the film is effectively Alan realizing that she's been kidnapped. Loretta is her name. She's been kidnapped. He goes off to try and rescue her and then frees her. And then they have to escape the island, get on with each other, stop the henchmen from finding them. And also, do they then go off and find the treasure?
Right.
That's it. It is a very silly film.
Good.
It's fun. It is 1 hour, 47 minutes, which is exactly long enough for it to be, come in, do some stuff, get out, we done. That's it. There are massive birds of prey outside our fortress right now.
Whoa.
There's like four birds of prey running around, diving into gardens behind us. I've never seen them this close. That's insane. I'm sorry. I've completely stopped the podcast for this. That's crazy. Sorry, people. So they come in. We're taking a break after this. I'm going to decide to have a look at this thing. So it's really silly. It's really funny. Sandra Bullock's amazing because Sandra Bullock's in it. Channing Tatum is playing the big dumb guy and is doing a great job.
Excellent.
Brad Pitt turns up.
Oh, yeah.
Brad Pitt turns up as Jack Traynor. And he's hilarious in it, but he's not in it for very long. He is going to be a cameo. Just let you know now. And that's it. And it just clips along and it's good.
Nice.
It is disengaged the brain. Now, this film's come out roughly at the same time as Uncharted. And it's better than Uncharted because it doesn't try and, it's not keeping an eye. And exactly what we just said, there's not going to be a sequel.
Right.
Just a bit of fun. Everyone's having a good time.
They've just gone.
Yeah. Here's the film. That's it. Oh, but what about there's no extended universe. Stop.
Yeah.
Make this film. And you know what? If it does really well, we might do a sequel. You never know. But probably not. So everyone just chill out.
It's a bit of its own thing.
Yeah.
Which is good.
Daniel Radcliffe's hilarious in it. He's really funny. He is very young. And I think they could have got someone who was a bit older in to be the moustache twirling bad guy, but
he does a good job with it.
He's super sarcastic in it, and he's really funny. And his name's Abigail because it's Abigail, Beverly, and Leslie are his two brothers. And it's like what? There's a running joke about him having a gender neutral name, and everyone goes, "That's not gender neutral." Anyway, so it's very silly, but it's good. Yeah, Channing Tatum's funny in it. There's, if you watch the trailer, effectively, you've pretty much seen the film, but that doesn't matter.
It's still fun anyway.
It is a proper disengaged brain, eat bucket of popcorn, laugh at it. The only thing I will say is really weird is the last, the coda to the film mm-hmm. was obviously filmed very far away from the film because Sandra Bullock and Channing Tatum look physically very different in the last scene. Sandra Bullock looks a lot different to what she looks in the film, and Channing Tatum has got much, much shorter hair and just looks different. Nice. And and it just makes you go, okay. A bit. So, yeah, but
okay.
Thoroughly thumbs recommend. Up. Right.
Good.
Okay, right. I need to take a run to the next one. The next one's a bit scary. Before I start on this, there will be mild swear words during this podcast. Mild swear words, not anything huge, because I have to use the term, here we go, dick kicking revenge.
Okay.
I went to see The Northman. Wow. Okay. You need to go and, okay. So.
It's rare that a film leaves you entirely
so speechless. Okay, first of all, do you like decapitations? Specifically, do you like exactly 40% of your decapitations to be horse-based? If the answer is yes, you'll love The Northman. Do you like stories of bleak, dick-kicking revenge based in Iceland? If the answer is yes, you'll love The Northman. Do you like to watch a film where halfway through you go, hang on a second, isn't this the plot of Hamlet? Only to then realise it's the 10th century version of Hamlet, which Hamlet was based on. Then you love The Northman. This film is absolutely bizarre good. So I went to see it and I left the cinema going, what? And then the next day it kind of percolated through my mind. I went, it was really good.
Okay. So did you have any idea about it when you were going in? Because all I know is that Alexander Skarsgård in it and it's called The Northman. That's a sum total of knowledge.
That's basically it. So it is based, it starts in Scandinavia, and I'm going to be general on this because okay. I'm not an expert of
10th century
yeah. geopolitics. But effectively, Ethan Hawke is in it. He is the king. And Nicole Kidman is the queen, and there's a little kid who is going to be Alexander Skarsgård. He is overthrown by his brother and beheaded. Decapitation number one. The son, they try and kill the son. He does a runner and then goes off and basically vows revenge. Skip forward many years later. It doesn't say how many, but many years later. Little kid is now an insanely buff Alexander Skarsgård, who is working as a Viking berserker. Oh, by the way, do you like drugs? Because in that case, you'll love The Northman. So the first time we see him, he is mostly naked, covered in bearskins, doing shrooms. And then they go off and rampage this village. There's a really cool bit where someone throws a spear. He catches the spear, spins around, throws it back and impales the guy. And I just went, yeah, for no reason. at which point he realizes that his uncle, who has been now deposed of his kingdom, is now living in Iceland.
Okay.
As a kind of a small kind of enclave in Iceland. So he sneaks aboard the slave ship that is heading to Iceland to go and be the slave, and pretends to be a slave, gets in with his uncle and plans a brutal campaign of decapitation and dick kicking revenge. He also catches up with Anna Taylor-Joy, who plays another slave who decides that she also wants to not be a slave anymore. And then
I thought you were going to say she decided she wants to also kick some dicks.
She also would like to kick some dicks in a revenge style. So it's Iceland. So because Iceland's there, this film goes a bit weird. Now it goes from, obviously, on a scale of 1 to Bjork. 1 being not weird at all, and Bjork being absolutely Icelandic banana pants. Where do you think this scale goes?
I'm guessing with everything you said now that you're well up towards Bjork.
Oh no, we're at Bjork. Do you know why? Because Bjork's in it! As a witch who disappears halfway through, like, and tells him his destiny. At that point, it goes a bit odd. He has to go off and find a magical sword. which can only be used at night, which is kind of cool because you can't unsheath the sword during the day. Okay. And then effectively kills everyone. That's it. I mean, that's it. Nicole Kidman's in it, who's kind of out of place because she looks too sculpted to be a woman who lived in the 11th century. I made a couple of weird hand gestures there, but Smith knows what I'm talking about. It's really good, but also
it seems like a very straight, very, in some respects, a very straight line story.
Yes.
Like, kid gets done over. Kid gets many years later.
Vows revenge. And everyone dies.
And
there's also
exact revenge.
Yes.
End of story.
Yeah. But it's Hamlet as well because.
Right.
Yeah, it's Hamlet because there are elements to it. And you go, hey, this is Hamlet. And you go, it is. So it's based on that. But it's just effectively, it's bleak, Icelandic, like valleys and fields, although I think it was shot in Ireland and Scotland and Iceland as well. Alexander Skarsgård is just brooding, dick kicking revenge, and it's just blood,
but
and
simple doesn't
it's
mean
a,
bad.
No, right? Exactly, and this is the thing: as I came out of the film, kind of going, "What the hell was that? Bjork? Volcanoes? Like." Many decapitations, 40% of them were horses. What? And then the more I think about it, the more I kind of went, actually, it's a good film because it is it's a simple story. And it's obviously a passion project. So the guy who directed it is the guy, do you ever watch The Lighthouse? Willem Dafoe?
I'm aware of The Lighthouse.
So same guy.
Good God. Okay, right now it
So you
sense.
Know it's going to be a little bit off kilter.
Yeah.
But it's interesting because it is a, and I don't mean a derogatory word, it's a simple story, but I don't mean that in
well
a bad
done,
way, but it's just well done.
Yeah.
There's a couple of weird supernatural bits, but also they're not. So he has to go and get the sword and ends up fighting some demonic creature to get the sword, but then actually it maybe isn't. Maybe that was just in his mind.
Right.
So
he's just ill on shrooms at this point.
But
is that the whole point?
But whole thing. Okay. And it's just it's a bit bleak, but it's well done.
Yeah.
But it
certainly seems to have affected you.
Yeah.
Or stayed with you.
Yeah. I mean it had a slight Game of Thrones-y feel to it on the grounds that it was violent and it was. Yeah, it was slightly supernatural, but not mainly. But it was really good. And it was interesting to see it in cinema because it's not the kind of thing I'd normally go and see.
Yeah.
And it's not the kind of thing that normally would be in the cinemas because usually you've got, you know, stupid comedies or superheroes.
Yes.
And this was neither.
This
clearly.
Is fresh.
This is, yeah, it's quite good.
Yeah,
so,
I tell you what, when you were describing it, it reminded me of something like The Raid, which again has a very straightforward story. It's like, I'm going to fight everyone from floor one
to floor seven. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I'm going to do the thing where you grab someone's leg and then throw them through a wall. Yeah. Simple
so
doesn't
like,
mean
visceral.
Simple doesn't mean bad. It is a really interesting story. And I think it's, as I said, it's based on a legend, a story, a tale, whatever from the kind of the Viking times, but it's made me there's a show called Vikings which apparently is really good and it's made me now think and maybe I should give that a go.
Myself and Mrs. Smith, we watched the first couple of seasons, good, like might even be like 10 years ago. It was good. It does That feels like a more extreme version of the TV show.
Yeah, and I think that's it. But Alexander Skarsgård is great in it. Anna Taylor-Joy is really good. Weak link, Nicole Kidman. Sorry, but I just think she was just... They should have had someone... without wishing to, you know... But yeah, it should have been someone a bit more grounded because Nicole Kidman is Nicole Kidman and she doesn't look good... trying to be mud encrusted, living in a crap hole in Iceland in the 10th century. It just doesn't work. You just know that off camera, there's an entirely massive trailer area waiting for her because she just doesn't do it. Everyone else is kind of covered in mud and
so a bit more, yeah, grounded, earthy.
Indeed, indeed. And later it will come to me who that perfect person is, but right now I can't think of it. But yeah, it was really good film and is worth watching. But just it's an example of a film that you look at it and you go, huh, okay. Kinda weird. Bjork turned up. Magic sword. But but all of this is preamble, because now we talk about the film we're here to talk about. We're here to talk about the unbearable weight of massive talent, Nicholas freaking Cage.
Is it safe to say you enjoyed this movie?
I think we got a notice of this film about 2 years ago.
Ooh, what,
and I think I mentioned the plot and you just went, I'm 100% in. Just in. Because yes. So
because yes.
This film is really funny and it's really good. It's got Nicolas Cage playing Nick Cage. That's Nick with a K. So he's slightly different version of the Nick Cage we know, but effectively he is in the twilight of his career.
Yep.
And he's married to Sharon Horgan, which is weird. Yeah.
Goodness.
Yes. And he has one teenage daughter, which he doesn't actually have a teenage daughter in real life. He's got two sons. And he's on wife number three now, who's half his age. So but anyway, so he's a bit washed up. Neil Patrick Harris is his agent, who's a scumbag. Basically, he's just Barney with a more extensive
Neil
Rolodex.
Neil Patrick Harris plays scumbag.
Yes, and effectively he's just being a bit intense about everything. He's super intense about his acting. He doesn't get a gig he really wants, which ironically involves him doing a Boston accent, which is actually the Boston accent he does is worse than mine. But at no point did you say the word unchatted. Anyway, and then he's offered $1 million to go to Spain. I think I said Mexico previously, but it's Spain.
Okay.
To go to a birthday party of some rich dude.
Right.
And then when he gets there, he's recruited by the CIA because the rich dude is actually an arms dealer cartel, and who's kidnapped the president's daughter, and he has to basically work it out who it is. But at the same time, the cartel guy, who's played amazingly well by Pedro Pascal, is a huge Nick Cage fan and is a complete Nick Cage nerd, and basically wackiness ensues. It is hilarious.
Right.
If you watch the trailer, you pretty much have seen the film, which is a shame because there are some very, very funny bits in it. MVP for the film goes to Pedro Pascal,
right,
who manages to be both a naive idiot and an evil scumbag, or is he, at the same time.
Okay.
And Nick Cage thoroughly makes fun of the Nick Cage persona. But also, he has an imaginary friend, which is him from the 1990s. And that's like blonde hair down to like his like beyond his ears, black leather jacket, cowboy boots, wild at heart, Nicholas freaking Cage, the whole thing. But he's like a CGI'd younger version of himself, which does look a bit shunky, but he only turns up two or three times, so it's okay. But imaginary Nick Cage is the insane Nick Cage that we're all think he is, whereas actual Nick Cage is more of a thoughtful kind of guy.
Yeah.
But 90s Nick Cage is just like banana pants. He's absolutely off the reservation.
Oh, does he look like the Superman Nick Cage?
It's blonde hair, but yes.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Wow.
But it's very funny. But yeah, it's really, really good. And if you're a Nick Cage fan, and I don't classify myself as a Nick Cage fan. I've seen a lot of Nick Cage films, but I appreciate
his work.
I appreciate it, but I haven't seen all of his films. He's done a lot of films that I haven't seen.
I mean, he's done a lot of films.
But there's a lot of references to it, and he even uses the not the bees line, which is really funny and really well placed. Now, I generally, if I'm in the cinema, I tend not to kind of react to things and laugh out loud and stuff. Now, this is a big difference between you know, European cinema goers and US cinema goers. So very recently, Little B has been working her way through the Marvel films. And spoilers for Avengers Endgame coming up. You haven't seen that film. But the bit near the end of Endgame where the Thanos is beating Thor up and the hammer rises and it goes and smacks him. And then it goes to not Thor's hand.
But someone else.
And someone else's hand. Now, I've seen that as a reaction shot. And I watched that in the cinema in Europe. And everyone went, however, do that in America, same thing, and the whole place goes absolutely bananas, like full on, like rah! Anyway, when this happened, Little B, who was watching it obviously at home, she just sat there and her eyes just kind of went like really wide, and she was like, whoa! And she goes like, dude, spong. So
correct response.
So she didn't go fully, like crazy, but she just went like, because that's a huge payoff. Anyway, but because as previously mentioned, I got to see this film completely on my own in a cinema, which has never happened to me before. I'm literally the only person in there. And Mrs. B couldn't come with me, so I went on my own. So as the trailers finished and all the adverts and the endless half an hour loop of just start the freaking film, I realized that I was the only person there. So I moved from my seat and moved to the absolute back row, right in the middle, under the projector, and had the whole place to myself, which means that during the film, I was laughing, I was clapping. When he did the Not the Bees line, I was like, yes, Nick Cage, come on. And the whole thing, because I could, right? And
excellent.
If you can see that film
in a cinema
on your own, I thoroughly recommend that you do that, because it is a really weird experience. Because I sat there kind of going, it's literally me and Nick Cage just watching this film. But it's really, really funny. It doesn't need the big screen experience. I think it will do very well. I think it'll pick up a lot of people who just fancy going to the cinema to see something a bit silly and a bit weird and a bit kind of funny. But the really clever thing is during the film, they decide to write a film, but the film that they write is effectively the film that you're watching.
Oh my God.
And it goes like,
I love that.
And it kind of goes dun, 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 and it's really funny. But yeah, it's great. But originally, apparently Dan Stevens was going to be the bad guy. But actually the last moment they swapped out and Pedro Pascal, and I think it's a better film for it, because Pedro Pascal is genuinely really good.
Yeah, I really only know him through like The Mandalorian. Yeah. So I'd love to see him in something else.
Yeah, he's good at this. You'll love this film, because
Why would
not? But yeah, it's really good. I strongly recommend it. I think it'll do well. I think it'll hang around for a while. As I said, there's a couple of things. Now, it does also mean that it's the punchline to a joke that we put into what was Whopper 2 years ago.
Yes.
We put 90s Nick Cage in as a selectable, playable character. And we put him in, and a few people found him and went, why is 90s Nick Cage in here? And I think this week some people went,
finally.
Because 90s Nick Cage is actually in there. So we've never done this before, and we probably will not do it again. But in the unbearable weight of massive talent, Nick Cage is top billing, and 90s Nick Cage is in as a, hey, isn't that? So you can actually pick Nick Cage, you can have two Nick Cages. And we won't do it again, because we just did this as a kind of a half joke last time, and you was like, yeah, okay, go on then. And we put 90s Nick Cage in. So it's possible.
Oh, that just reminded me about putting Nick Cage in more than once into your film. Did you see on the Discord I posted that browser add-on you can
that
have?
That changes every image
to Nick Cage.
So years ago, somebody mocked up a picture, and all their slots were filled by Nick Cage, which you can't do in the game. It won't let you. But yes, with this with this add-in app on Chrome, is it Chrome add-in?
I think you can probably get it Chrome, yeah.
Every image is replaced by an image of Nick Cage, which is amazing.
Yeah.
Completely impractical. Don't recommend you use it.
And the adult goes, because why wouldn't you? Because, that's his description.
Because it's Nick Cage. Anyway, really good film. Really silly. Yes. And the other thing about, I bangled up this a little bit. Lost City and Nick Cage were both about the 1 hour 45 mark,
sensible
which is way. Just long enough feeding again, because the end of Massive Talent starts to go a bit at the end, and you kind of go, oh, it's getting a bit weird now. And it goes, you know what? You're right. We're done. And you go, okay, cool. And it finishes, and you go, oh, that's it. We're out. And you go, perfect. And it's just, yeah, there's no, it's long enough to hold your interest, to be entertaining, to be fun, to finish your massive bucket of popcorn, and to get out at a reasonable time. And I think that's something that...
to be applauded.
It's to be applauded. I mean, I haven't looked at Top Gun Maverick, but I'm guessing that's going to be clocking in at a hefty...
2.5 hours.
It's going to be, yeah, and you're going to go, oh, come on, guys. So, yeah, it's... Yeah, I've been to see 4 films this week.
You've seen some films, man.
I've seen things you people wouldn't believe. Well, you would believe because go and see it. But I've seen Nicolas freaking Cage. Talk to Nicolas freaking Cage. Yeah, but it's no superheroes, no exploding helicopter. Actually,
what?
No exploding. No, sorry, no. One exploding helicopter. Uncharted. Uncharted had one exploding helicopter. No time travel, which is weird for me, generally. Yeah, no superheroes. It was just 4 films that were all, I mean, pretty good actually. I've done all right actually. And the reason that I'm in such a good mood is because I couldn't go and see Morbius, because it wasn't available. Because it's fallen
it's
off.
Gone
the, it's well, already. It's fallen off the my local cinema. It's fallen off the timetable. But I would have had to have gone to the other branch, which is like 6 miles away, to go and see it. And that would have just made me angry because. Mm. I mean,
no.
But I will watch Morbius because I kind of have to. I'll probably catch it when it comes out on a streaming platform. But I don't want to, but I'm doing it because I have to. Thus ends Reviewapalooza.
It's been good.
Yeah.
I wish I could go to the cinema. That would be amazing.
It was a weird week. And as I was playing catch up and... there was stuff going on that I wasn't required the weekend, and I basically just went, you know what, I'm just going to disappear to the cinema for 2 hours. So the Northman was definitely the peak. So I saw that on the Sunday. The Birch household were out on Sunday. I wasn't required. So I went, right, rather than sitting on my butt playing video games, I'm going to go see the Northman. Mm. My Northman kind of going, what the hell was that? And then... really wanted to catch up, really want to see Lost City, and I had to go and see. And I said to Mrs. B, right, I'm going to go and see Master. And I did say on the podcast a few weeks ago that we should go into London and see it. And unfortunately, it didn't work out because I was self-isolating. And before that, I was in Eastern Europe having a really weird time, which we've talked about, my Severance Corridor moment.
Yes.
Which is bizarre. Anyway, so we will try and catch up on this. We may have to add that as a secret screening at some point after we've done A Few Good Men, which is still on the books.
Good.
But that's to come.
I've still not seen it.
Oh, so good. So good. Right. Nope. We haven't got time. I've done enough films. We're not doing that. But yeah. I'll tell you what we will do. When we do watch A Few Good Men, I'm making you review it for the podcast.
Okay.
And I know the film's 25 years old, 30 years old nearly, but God, 30. No, it's 20. No, 20 years old. Wait, when was 1994?
Nearly 30 years ago.
Right. While I reel in the temporal disassociation of that fact, I think we're done. I think I'm done. Are you done?
Yes. Very done.
Cool. So we need a name for the third season, our difficult third season.
Yep.
If you've been to see Nick Cage and you think it's also awesome, then please let me know. We're on the Twitter. We're at the FFL, and I'm at Mr. Birch FFL. If you want to talk about the game, the films that you've seen, Nick Cage generally, or random stuff, then you can come onto the Discord group and see. If you want to start the hashtag Gertie Lies, feel free, because apparently someone's already doing that. Updates are coming out every Sunday. I'm adding cast. If you want cast additions, let us know. Discord generally is where we hang out. I don't know, does it beeps? Mine beeps constantly during the day, and I generally try and answer it if I've got a free moment. But
I definitely check in through the day.
Yeah. So we obviously run in GMT as a time zone, but other time zones are available. And we'll be back in N number of weeks.
N weeks is the right number.
We're back at N number of weeks to talk about stuff. I think we need to do a big blockbuster review for the next
coming up.
Yeah, because there's some big films coming out. Hopefully, I will go and have seen Doctor Strange because I'm going to try and go and see it on opening weekend.
I'm seeing it on opening.
I'm not taking little B with me because she's desperate to go to the cinema with me to see a Marvel film, but I don't think that's going to be it. She has made it very clear that we are going to see Thor: Love and Thunder in July together.
That is the correct.
Fine, but we're also doing Comic Con in Olympia in London. So in July, so Sunday, July 8th, 9th, Sunday in July, we're going to go to Comic Con in Olympia. So if you're in London and want to go to Comic Con and meet up with us, I'll buy you a pint, and merch. So yeah, but we did that. But yeah, she's become obsessed. I had to give her I have a key ring of Mjolnir, which is Thor's hammer, which I've been able to hand over to little B. So she's constantly leaving it around and then asking everyone else to pick it up. And then obviously you can't pick it up because you know why? Because we're not worthy. We will see you in N week's time. Anything else to add?
No,
I think I've just done all the talking this week. You literally could have just...
It's been very relaxing.
Yeah, I'm sure. Okay, I'll tell you what, when we come back in N week's time, you can do all the talking.
Okay.